Good evening, everyone. Let the record indicate it is now 5 o'clock and the Warwick Finance Committee, City Council Finance Committee is called to order. First order of business, I need a motion on the minutes from the
Motion to approve the minutes of November 3rd.
Okay, we have a motion.
Second.
Second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. We need a motion on the consent calendar for the meeting of November 3rd.
Favorable action in the minutes?
We have a motion favorable. We have a second. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Okay, moving on to PCR 132-25, the bid package. First item up is tire repairs and recapping. Hi, Christie.
Good evening.
Go ahead.
Public Works is requesting to award the bid for tire repairs and recapping to Pete's Tire Barns and Sullivan Tire in the amount of $160,000 for a one-year period, January 1, 26 to December 31, 2026.
Okay. Do we have any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Christie, what did we spend in this line item last year?
$133,067.22.
And why are you looking to increase $27,000?
Our budget, we have a specific line item in our budget for these items. It's budgeted at $160,000. You know, we just never know what can happen with recaps because they do wear down and come off, and then repairs, it's, you know, like road repairs. So if they have to come to us for something, if we have to have loader tires changed or something on anything like that, where they have to do a road call for us, they have to go to the landfill for us. Mm-hmm. It encompasses all of that kind of stuff. So.
And is it safe for us to assume that the first right of refusal, so to speak, will be at Sullivan Tire as opposed to Pete's Tire Barn, who is 65% more?
Yes.
Okay. Actually, I think there's a couple of them that they're like 75% or 70% more. Okay. So the first choice will be Sullivan Tire, second choice on emergency needs, so to speak.
Okay. Yes, if for some reason Sullivan can't get to us, we have an alternative.
Okay, sure. No, I understand. Any questions from, members of the public? We have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, thank you, Christie. We will move on to item number 2, 2026-244, tablets and vehicle monitoring, found on page 12. Go ahead, Major.
Good evening, Councilman. The police department went out to bid for rugged windows tablets to be used in police vehicles along with associated mounting hardware, cables, and antennas. A total of three bids were received. The police department recommends the contract be split between the three vendors, Tech Advanced Computers, Whaley Computer Associates, and Newcom Wireless. Tech Advanced had the lowest pricing for the tablets, Whaley Associates had the lowest pricing for cables and accessories, and Newcom had the lowest pricing for the vehicle mounting brackets. The department is seeking spending authority in the amount of $70,000 from budget code 3231, computer supplies.
Thank you, Major. Do we have any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Do we have any questions from members of the council? Major, how many tablets are you projecting or anticipating on purchasing?
At least 20. I have several that are about that are older, about 2018. So they're about seven to eight years old. And the average lifespan is about 5 years. We've had some issues with the Windows 11 upgrades, not working on some of the older tablets. So we're looking at least about 20 tablets over the year.
And as part of this bid, will these tablets be included and used for the 13 new vehicles that were just approved?
Some of these will be, yes.
Some will?
We'll reuse whatever we can, and new ones will go into these cars.
So some will be transferred from other vehicles?
Correct.
Into the new vehicles. Okay. Okay, that's all I have. Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, we will move on to item number three, 2026-289, air walls training wall system, found on page 20.
Thank you, Councilman Robert Hart from the Police Department. The Police Department is requesting a 56-6 exception to bid for a sole source tactical training system that is comprised of rugged inflatable walls. This air wall system is comprised of various height walls, doorways, and windows that can be configured in any layout to mimic the floor plan of a house, a business, a school. Sorry about that.
They usually do that to my mic.
This system will allow for realistic training, pre-planning scenarios. It's capable of withstanding impacts from simulation rounds, airsoft rounds, various impact type rounds, et cetera. It's being completely funded through a competitive bid that the department won through the JAG grant. And the total cost is $67,195. That includes shipping and freight and accessories.
Okay. Any questions from members of the committee? Councilman Foley.
Just for my edification, is this a physical building, like structure, or is it online, virtual?
So they are physical inflatable canvas structures, like canvas walls that actually, for simplicity, almost Velcro together and are weighted down, and they're inflated by pumps that you plug in. And you can move the walls around, change doors, change walls, so it's different every time. And then when you're done, you can deflate it, roll it up, and put it in the storage container.
It's like your bouncy house.
I didn't want to say that.
But along that line, when you get this, would that be something, once you have it inflated, that we could see?
I think we would give you a simulation gun and give you a try.
Thank you.
I thought you were going to say play.
Thank you, sir. Councilman Muto, did you have a question?
No, I'm good.
Okay. Councilman Napa? Any questions from members of the council? Thank you. Councilman DeLuise. We can't hear you, sir.
So, Major, are these walls, it says they're able to take ammunition rounds? Is that what it is?
Simunitions.
What is simunition?
Simunitions are projectiles that are made of like wax or like a small rubber. Where an officer would wear a protective suit, you can actually engage in training fire.
Okay, so you have men that are in the field, and they're like, say, a scenario is where there's a perpetrator behind the wall, something like that, and you would go in to train your officers in that type of scenario, and that these walls can be, you know, differently configured. And what, so the walls, how long is the life of this this unit? So can they last 10 years or?
You know, I'm not sure the exact life of it, but I can tell you that this program is used by the US military for various different types of walls like this. They even have inflatable tanks and planes, so they use them on a pretty
all right, so it's an efficient way to train individuals. As a, like years ago, I remember the fire department used buildings that are actually vacant, and they would set fires, and the firemen would go in and, you know, practice whatever and train with these actual buildings. So I was just wondering if this would be more efficient to take the place of that training.
Yes. Again, these walls can be inflated, deployed however you like to mimic, a house with multiple rooms. You can change the layout on the fly, move things around, so it can be different every time you go through it. It's reusable and reusable and reusable.
All right. I just wanted that clarified. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Major, what is in that JAG grant account now?
The total JAG grant was $95,000. We've spent about $6,000 on various items, including a tent for the range, heaters, different miscellaneous items that were part of the original grant. After this purchase, there'll be about $22,000 remaining in the grant for other purchases that were outlined in the initial application.
Okay. Can this grant be used for other type of expenses?
No, it's very specific on what it can be used for. We had to submit an application with these items on it, and it was reviewed by a board here in the state made of other different police chiefs and other attorney general's office, and they said this is what you're going to spend the money on based off of this application.
Okay. To follow up on Councilman DeLuise's question, in the past, granted, it's some time in the past, I believe the police department used to use New England Tech for some of this training. And why isn't that considered?
Well, there's always we can still use other facilities, but using simulations and other rounds could cause damage. And we don't want to damage anyone else's property. If it was, as the councilman said, a vacant building that was being torn down, then so be it. But these walls are meant to withstand these impacts, essentially be washed off, cleaned, patched as needed, but it's not damaging anyone else's property.
As a follow-up again, my question was, why aren't we using buildings such as Aldrich? That's an empty building, still owned by us. The school administration building on Warwick Avenue, multiple level building, lots of different spaces over there, and even some parts of Draper, as opposed to going this route for almost $70,000.
Well, two things. One, officers have complained about the conditions of those buildings because we have used them. They were not happy with the conditions of what they're turned into. Second, this can be configured to whatever we need it to be. So if they're planning an operation for some specific building, they can mimic that building. They can get the floor plan and they can change it and then move this and move all these walls to mimic exactly what they're going to encounter based off the plan.
With that said, I would assume that being able to train with moving these walls around different configurations, that I would assume that includes dealing with perhaps some hostage situation.
Absolutely. Whatever situation you can come up with, they could translate it into how this is laid out.
Okay. And what's the warranty on this product?
You know, I don't have that in the brochure here. I can look it up and email you.
Okay. Yeah, I'd like to know what the warranty is in terms of time, whether it's prorated, non-prorated, and specifically what it does not cover in the warranty. Sometimes that's easier to describe than what is covered. So you'll be able to get that to us?
I can look that up.
Okay. Any questions from members of the public? Sorry. Oh, Councilman Ricks, I'm sorry.
Thank you. I noticed in the award letter that it provides It was a pretty short period in there, period of performance, June 25th.
Councilman, we can't hear you. I don't know if your mic is off.
Looks like my mic is running out of battery, if I could borrow one. Thank you. I noticed the award notification letter, there was a period of performance stated of June 25th through September 30th, both of this year. Surprisingly short period for that type of grant. So that's not going to be an issue here, right?
It's not. And actually, that's when we submitted most of the paperwork. We didn't get this a letter until late September. So we didn't get this award letter until probably around that 30th of September date.
Yeah, yeah. It just struck me as odd because also it shows a fiscal year of 2020. I'm not complaining about the money. never complaining about a grant.
To speak to that, I believe that's when the initial grant was applied for, and then every year it keeps adding on. So 2020 would have been one of the first years that we did this in this format, if I'm correct.
Very good. Thank you. And then, let's see. You were stating earlier that the type of grant is very specific to the training and the like. The other items that you are seeking to use the grant for, would there be sufficient funds for those items or the like after the drawdown based on this particular expenditure?
Yes, we actually saved money on a previous purchase for the tent during maybe the last council meeting, the one before, that we had budgeted to be much more expensive. So there's plenty of money in there.
That's great. And then between those other items that you've identified and this particular product, you're satisfied that these are the best uses for this grant at this time?
I am, and again, it was approved by a grant committee that has said these are the items you can purchase.
Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any other questions from any other members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Sir, please identify yourself. Come to the mic.
Hi, my name is Mitchell Moran. I heard somebody speak about using the New England Tech Building, and there's two campuses on Post Road, and one of them isn't being used at all.
I'm sorry, sir, are you here to speak on what?
I heard somebody speaking about the New England Tech Building being used for like the firefighters and—
No, that's not what we're discussing. We're discussing the JAG grant for a training facility, portable type of thing. So no, that was just a question I had asked. That's not anything for discussion.
Okay, sorry.
But what is your question, sir?
Is it
strictly on the New England Tech Building?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, okay.
I thought maybe they would be able to use that building as well because it has been vacant for a few years.
Come closer to the mic, please.
I just thought maybe to help them, maybe they'd be able to use that building as well for simulations and trainings as well because that building hasn't been used in years. There are two campuses on Post Road. When I attended New England Tech, I received 2 degrees, and in the 18th month program, there was only me and one other student in it. And we went in that building briefly just to kind of look around, but there wasn't anybody using it for years. So maybe at some point they would be able to use that building to help with their training as well.
Great. Thank you for that. Yeah,
thank you
very much. You got that, Major?
I did. We have a very close relationship with New England Tech. They let us host the police academy there. If we needed a building, I'm sure they would, as long as we don't damage their walls and things.
Very good. Thank you. Okay. Any other questions from members of the public? Hearing none, we will move on to the rest of the items are all under $50,000. We do have two that the police department wants to make an amend, and this was a request that we sent over this morning, Major, and I want to thank you for doing your due diligence on that in reviewing some of these bids this morning. Credit where credit is due. Joanne actually mentioned about a two-year bid on this, and we got in touch with Frances, and she in turn got in touch with you, and good results. So go ahead, tell us about what happened today on 2026-245.
Yes, Councilman. Bid number 2026-245, the Motorola two-way radio accessories bid. This is a standard bid that we normally purchase different cables, mounting brackets, ignition cable, different Motorola parts, Motorola and Havis parts. The original bid was going to be for 1 year, from December 5th of this year to December 4th of next year. At your request, we reached out to the vendor, Sat Radio of Texas, doing business with Industrial Communications, and they agreed to extend the bid, keep the pricing on a bid. So the new dates would be December 5th, 2025 through December 4th, 2027. So a two-year bid. With that, we would seek an increase in spending authority for the 2 years to increase to $50,000 from $25,000.
That's good job, Major. Over the years, I haven't always been a fan of 2 and 3 year bids, but that mindset does change as the economy changes and as the pricing on items change. And I think we're at a time now where if some of these cases such as this, a two-year bid is very important. It also saves us the time of having to go back out and start all over again. So thank you for circling back on that. Do we have, Clerk, Madam Clerk, may I have a PCR on this, please? 133-25. So item number 4, found on page 25, 2026 Motorola two-way radios will now become PCR 133-25, and the amount will be amended from $25,000 to $50,000, and the end date will be 12/4/2027. Correct, Major?
Correct, sir.
Okay. Do we have any questions from members of the committee?
Do that first.
Sure, that's fine. I need a motion to amend to PCR 133-25 as stated.
Move to amend as stated.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion. We have a second. Okay, for discussion. Do we have any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Okay, I'm looking for a motion on PCR 133-25 as amended.
Move favorable action.
Second.
We have a motion favorable. We have a second as amended. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Major, while you're still there, I'm going to take things out of order. I'm going to get down to item number 11, 2026-262, found on page 63, radar calibration and repairs. Again, thank you for getting this done specifically at the late hour. I think it was like around 2:30 or something when I sent in that request. And you actually upped it from what I had requested, which is to extend this for 2 years. So please talk to us about that item.
Councilman, the police department would like to amend item number 11, bid 2026-262, radar calibration and repairs. This is a routine yearly required calibration of radar units, laser units, tuning forks, and any associated repairs we may incur throughout the years for our radars, both mounted in the vehicles and handheld. The original contract was for 1 year, beginning on the 9th of January 2026, going to the 8th of January 2027. I spoke with the vendor, who actually informed us that we are an outlier, being a one-year bid, and that most places around the country, or East Coast, he said, use a three-year bid, and that he was happy to extend it for a three-year. So the new contract date would be January 9th, 2026, through January 8th, 2029. The original spending authority of $7,000 a year would be increased to $21,000.
Okay. PCR on this, Madam Clerk? PCR 13425. So item number 2026-262 will now become PCR 13425. I need a motion for an amendment, please.
Favorable action to amend as stated.
Second.
Okay, we have a motion. We have a second. Any further questions? All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. I now need, I'm sorry, let's go to discussion. Any further discussion from members of the committee, members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion on what is now PCR 13425. It amends the numbers to 21,000 over 3 years with an end date of 1-8-2029.
Move favorable action.
We have a motion. We have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. Thank you, Major. Are there any other items from the committee that you would like to have separated? Any items from the committee? Any items from members of the council that you would like to have separated? Any items from members of the public that you would like to have separated? Are there any items from members of the public that you would like to have separated? Okay, I have two. First one is item number 5, 2026-261. That's found on page 31. And the second one is item number 7, towing services, found on page 39. First item is 2026-261, found on page 31.
Short people.
Okay. Christy, what did we spend in this item last year?
$10,706.28.
$10,000 what?
$706.28.
Okay. And why the jump to $24,000?
It's not a jump. This is a two-year bid, so it would be $12,000 a year. We asked for the same thing the last cycle with this bid as well.
This is a two-year bid?
Yes. January 1, 26 to December 31, 27.
Oh, okay. Got it. Okay. All right. And who was sent, or I should say, how many vendors were requested to bid on this?
I don't have that information with me, but they've also, the last few bid cycles, they've also been the only vendor that submitted a bid, so.
I know. That's why I'm asking the question, because it seems as though for a period of time, they're the only ones that have submitted a bid. So we're kind of like locked into them.
There's a state MPA, and they had reached out to Francis, the company Cintas, and I looked at their pricing, and it's actually more expensive than what we use, so I opted to keep the bid process, to move it forward to see what our pricing came in at, and our pricing is less than what's on the state MPA. And they have a very limited amount of floor mats, there were like no wet mops, no dry mops, so I just chose to go with our own bid.
The purchasing director, did you want to speak? Please.
Francis Gomez, purchasing director. I do have a vendor list that we do send it out to, but we also, not only obviously we post it on our own city website, but we also use another website that's nationwide. And I believe maybe that's how Census came across our bid as well, but that is nationwide, and we have outreaches even outside of the country, which we can't use. But I just wanted to make that comment. Bids that we post besides the city of Warwick, we also post to bidnetdirect.com, which is nationwide.
How many vendors are on that list that you said you sent out?
Oh, off the top of my head, I don't remember, but I can definitely check it tomorrow and let you know.
Okay. Thank you. Christy, are any of these mats and mop rentals, et cetera, are they also for the new ice rink?
No.
No. So there'll be none needed at the new ice rink?
I can't say that there won't be any needed. We might have to put one or two inside the entry doors into the employee area, just because of winter time, if it's slippery or whatever. But around the ice rink itself, there's rubber matting, so obviously there would be no need to have anything on the outside perimeter of the facility. But we might have to put a couple inside. Just for like employees going in and out.
So the answer is yes, some of these will be used.
I hadn't anticipated, honestly, didn't give a thought to that facility when this bid went out. But yes, it is very possible that we could have a couple in there.
Okay. And where are the other mats being used?
They're located all over the city. There's mats here in City Hall. There's mats at the DPW complex in different areas. There's mats in the water division. We have mats in the police station. Sewer uses this bid, so it's not limited to one or two exclusive buildings.
Okay. We have any questions from members of the committee? Yes, Councilman Napper.
Hi, Director. Just a general comment. I appreciate the effort to go out to bid rather than just tacking on to the state bid. Efforts like that are much appreciated by this committee, and I know I could assume by the council in general, so I appreciate you taking the time
to do that.
Thank you, sir. Councilman Muta, do you have any question?
Actually, I'm just going to add on to a comment of Councilman Napa. I do want to thank you and the mayor. When we look through this package, it was very nice to see that we didn't have one contract that expired, and we actually had a whole month before most of them were pretty much executed. And the other parts were looking at some of the items that were filled in where we saw, and I'm not sure which one it was. I think it was in the police, where we saw the unit price and discount price. So I just want to commend both of you for filling this packet out and answering many, many questions that would typically come before us. And really, sincerely, we do appreciate it. We don't like to be put behind the gun. And to be honest with you, this is the first time in 11 months I haven't felt behind the gun on bid packages. So
thank
you very much.
Thank you, Councilman. Okay, the next item, any questions from members of the council? Any questions from members of the public? Do we have any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, we'll move to the last item, which is item number 7, towing services for heavy duty vehicles, found on page 39. Christy, on this item, what did we spend on this item last year?
The second contract period, this would be the third time we've done this. We spent $17,830.
$2,000?
$17,830.
Okay. And I know that Ronnie's towing has been pretty much the one that has been getting this bid. Why doesn't the department go out for bid on this? There's certainly more than Ronnie's towing that I see on the highways towing these big trucks.
So Ronnie's towing is right here in Warwick. We utilize them because they have the large tow trucks that can haul our larger vehicles, like sanitation vehicles, fire trucks. We can call another vendor like Sari Street or Coletta's, but they're located in Providence. It's going to cost us more money to go for them to come to Warwick to get one of our trucks and bring it to, you know, the city yard or wherever it's going, rather than just call Ronnie's, who's right on Jefferson Boulevard. So, you know, we can't just call any tow company because they don't all have the equipment that we require to tow our vehicles. And sometimes if they have to be towed from the rear for whatever reason, you have to pull the axle to tow it from the back. So that's why it's not a bid, it's a 56.6, but it's one that's necessary for us to be able to get our larger vehicles back to wherever they, or if on the rare occasion we have to have it towed to a vendor to be repaired. It doesn't make sense for us to utilize someone that's outside the city of Warwick.
I hear what you're saying, but as I had said, you see tow trucks towing large vehicles, including trailer trucks. This isn't something that is just a rarity or once in a while. It happens. And I think it's important that at some point in time, you need to test the waters and see what else is available out there. To just continue status quo year after year after year and not test the waters, I don't think that's a healthy business decision. So come next time, I would like to see test the waters. And let's find out if they're the only act in town, and let's find out if they're giving us the best deal. Any other questions from members of the council committee? Any questions from members of the public? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, we will move. Oh, let's get a motion on the consent calendar.
Favorable action on the consent calendar.
Second.
We have a motion. We have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Thank you. And we will go to PCR 12925. That is police personnel uniforms. And I had asked for this item to be held for clarification on the information that we had in the bid package. There were some items missing in one of the bids inadvertently. And Major, you had agreed to hold this. We have since got all of the information on that. And I wanted to see if there's anything you would like to add. Other than you've provided the information that we requested.
No, sir. Again, okay. That was just a copy machine error that was missing those pages. We apologize for that. I did go ahead before this and color code everything just in case you had any questions, but I have nothing further to add.
Okay. Any questions from members of the committee? Any questions from members of the council? We have any questions from members of the public? Any questions from members of the public? Hearing none, I need a motion on PCR 129-25.
Move favorable action.
Second.
We have a motion. We have a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Thank you. Thank you, everyone. The Finance Committee is adjourned at 5:38 p.m.
Next up is the Ordinance Committee.
Okay, time is now 5:39. Ordinance Committee is now in session. First order of business is acceptance of the minutes for the committee meeting held on October 20th, 2025. Do I have a motion?
Move favorable action.
Second. We have a motion and a second. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Mr. Chairman, we're having a hard time hearing you on this side.
Apologies. We just move to approve the minutes for the committee meeting held on October 20th, moved by Councilman Gebhardt, seconded by Councilman Ricks, and approved by a 4-0 vote. Next order of business is PCO 13-25, an ordinance amending the procedures relative to tax title property. Council President Snappy, on behalf of the mayor, the request of the council president is that this be held to January.
I may have misled you.
You misled me.
This is going to be for the administration. Is January 5th okay? Yeah, all right. Thumbs up. No misleading, apparently.
Okay. Request to hold to January 5th. Is there any objection to holding to January 5th? Next order of business, PCO 20-25, an ordinance combining the Housing Board of Review and the Building Code Board of Appeals. This is docketed by Council President Sinapi on behalf of the mayor. And Chief, are you presenting on this?
Good evening. Bill Facenti, Chief Staff to Mayor Picozzi. The PCO 20-25 is basically making the city of Warwick, bringing the city of Warwick into compliance with state code, state law regarding the housing code, building code, and property maintenance code. Tonight, Al DeCourt, director of the building office and property maintenance, is here, as well as Solicitor Ursillo, in case there's any specific questions.
Okay, thank you, Chief. How did we come across the need for the correction here?
This was brought to the attention of the administration by Al DeCourt, that it was not compliant, and we have two boards that are doing similar work that we'd like to combine the building code into property maintenance, or minimum housing as it's called now, into a property maintenance code, which property maintenance is now under the building code, which it wasn't at one time.
Thank you. Attorney Ursillo, did you have anything to add?
Thank you, and thank you for having me this evening. No, other than to say that there's an incredible amount of overlap between the Housing Board and the Building Code Board, and it just, in addition to addressing some of the issues in terms of jurisdiction, et cetera, it just makes sense to have one board because of the overlap, and the nature of these violations come up all the time in both boards. It just doesn't make sense to have two. The idea is one board will oversee all of these very similar violations.
Understood. Thank you. Any questions from the members of the committee? Councilman Gebhardt.
Maybe not for you, but you're welcome to stand there. You look handsome tonight. Chief, maybe first question just for you. When I go on the city's website, I can easily locate the Zoning Board of Review. I don't see any page listing the Housing Board of Review. Do you know if that is there? That is there.
No, he's talking about the city website. Oh, it's not. I don't. Off the top of my head, I don't know. I can look.
The only reason I went looking for that was I noticed in the language here, we talk about that in consolidating to one board, that the mayor is granted authority in this action to essentially review the membership of both boards and to make a determination as to what the future membership of those boards would be. Mm-hmm. I was able to locate past minutes and agendas from the Building Board of Appeals to see Mr. Bucci, Carlone, Sternberg, Leonardo, Jones, but I'm not able to determine what the membership of the Housing Board of Appeals is.
So according to Director of Building, Al DeCourt, there hasn't been a Housing Board meeting in almost 10 years.
Okay.
So that could explain why it's not on.
Okay. So you made a statement earlier that they're doing the same types of work. It sounds like one's not doing any work and one is doing work.
They have the same type of jurisdiction, I believe, what the Solicitor Ursillo meant.
Okay. Okay, so there are members of that board? The one that hasn't met in some time? They don't meet.
So, won't you? Sorry.
Al DeCourt, Director of Code Enforcement. There are members of that board. When I first got here in 2012, they used to have a monthly meeting. I've been here, it's not my 14th year, November 26th. I believe we've had only two appeals of the minimum housing code. at that time. The way it works is violation letter goes out. In the violation letter, it states the violation, plus you have the right to appeal within 10 days. That appeal would come to me. I would review it and either send it to the board or act upon it to get it resolved. We haven't had one in almost 10 years.
I see.
So Lucille, you know, they go out, they work with the property owner to try to get it resolved without any court action or any further action except clean up the property.
Got it. And a situation like 31 Hale, where we had multiple enforcements of minimum housing standards, that ended up in court. Is that because it wasn't actually the owner who was appealing the finding? It was our attempt to further enforce minimum housing standards?
That's a tricky one, because that was also part of a federal loan. So we had to get the federal government in to come to visit Rhode Island. And we had to go through our court system to do that. It's much like 1007 Warwick Neck Avenue took forever to get resolved.
Okay.
But it finally happened.
Okay.
With a lot of effort on the city's part.
Okay. Got it. And then I was just pulling up the personnel supplement. Are either of these boards paid a stipend or paid in any way?
In section 64-5, I believe that's where the stipends are. It's the last page of the ordinance. So it'll be section 1, combined building code, Board of Appeals, and Housing Board of Review. It's $25 for a chair and $25 for a member. And just getting rid of the minimum housing board review. I believe the minimum housing board last met in 2019.
So they had a good deal.
There's minutes on the website for that.
Thank you. Okay, I think that's all the questions I have for now. Thank you.
Thank you, Councilman. Any questions from the members of the council? Councilman Lattiser.
So I'm going to follow up on Councilman Gebhardt's question in a minute. But first, I want to thank billing official Al DeCourt.
Councilman, could you speak up?
Sure.
Director DeCourt is a little...
I know. It seems like these mics are not just normal.
Thank you.
Anyways, I want to thank our billing official for speaking with me on Friday with some of these questions that I had. Since then, I've actually come up with a few more questions. To follow up on Councilman Gebhardt's questions, we heard that this board has been in place for, over 14 years. It's only met twice in the last 14 years. And my question is specifically, do these board members, let me rephrase that, have these board members been getting paid the stipend year after year after year when they're not meeting?
Councilman, I can't answer that 100% certainly, but if I don't believe there's anything in the ordinance that requires them to meet to get the stipend. I can double check that.
I would say it's reasonable to assume that they are getting paid, because it's right there in the rules and regs, right? So that's $1,650 a year for 14 years that nobody's been doing any work, to the tune of $23,100. So I'm glad to see that this has finally been brought to a head, I guess we can say. So in addition to the reasoning for combining these two boards, the obvious that they've only met twice in 14 years, says to me the board's not necessary. And it also says to me that things are being handled very well by minimum housing because there have been no appeals. So I think the job that they're doing is commendable, as well as the job that our municipal court judge has been doing. So some of the questions I have, actually one of the concerns I have is on, well, there's no page number here, but it's on line 8. It starts on, I'm sorry, on line 10. Eligible person desiring to take an appeal shall file in the office of the board, in the office of the board, within 10 days after service of the matter appealed from. So,
what section are you referring to, Councilman?
It's in the application for appeal.
Yeah,
it's
section
6-153.
Oh, okay.
We've got it, Councilor.
Okay. So I'm gonna break this out into several parts. It says, take an appeal shall, any person desiring to take an appeal shall file in the office of the board. Where is the office of the board?
That would be the building department.
That would be the building department. Okay. And where does that state that in here, in this document? And I'm speaking for those people who are not familiar with how governance works and how one department works with another and who goes where and who answers to who. Because when someone looks at this and they see that, oh, okay, we can file an appeal in the office of the board. So how does the public know where the office of the board is, or who is the office of the board?
So the notice of violation comes from the building department.
Okay.
And it has explicit instructions in the notice of violation. So you're not going to appeal to the board, to the place of the board, unless you have a violation, which comes from the building department. But if it would make you make it more clear, we can put in the office of the building official, building department, you know, but you're not getting a violation. Mm-hmm. So you don't need to know where to appeal unless you get a violation. Sure. That comes from the building department.
Yeah, I think that would be a wise idea, Chief, because I'm sure everyone here on the council will agree. We get calls from our constituents often about a pothole, and they don't know who to call. So imagine something like this that is, there's nowhere near the frequency of that. If people don't know sometimes who to call to get a pothole report, I doubt that they're going to know where to go for office of the board. So that's one part of the concern. I think that needs to be clarified. The other issue is within 10 days, this is on the same line, within 10 days after service of the matter appealed from, a written appeal, including a brief statement of the reasons thereafter and a detailed statement of the facts, yada, yada, yada. I think 10 days is, it's a real heavy lift, because this says for any service of the matter appealed. So does that mean once the appellant receives the decision of the board, or is that at the meeting of the board?
So it states, so just so you know, this language was not changed.
I understand. This language I understand, but now I'm looking at it in more detail because right. You brought this before us. I had no reason to really look at this before, but now I do.
So it's within 10 days of service. So it would be the notice of violation would be mailed, I believe it's certified mail. It goes out to the constituent or the property owner, and that's when the mail, that's when the 10-day, when they sign receipt, that's when the 10-day starts.
So okay. They're appealing this notice of a minimum housing violation. This is a notice that is provided to a property owner from the minimum housing department. And that notice, by its service alone, or by its delivery alone, Does that qualify as a violation, or is it in fact a violation after a proceeding has taken place?
So the inspection is made, a determination is made that there's a violation. That violation, the person then receives a notice of that violation. They then have the 10 days from notice to appeal. And Al is telling me that they're pretty lenient about that. If it's 2 weeks, not going to allow 30 days to go by, but they're reasonable, right? They do the reasonable thing. They can then appeal that and try to resolve it. If there isn't an appeal, the violation holds. And if it's the violation is not addressed, then the city has the opportunity to bring the matter to municipal court.
So the 10-day appeal period, what is the trigger time for the 10 days?
So once we send the violation letter out, 95% of the time we'll receive a phone call back. Why did I get this letter? Because we have pictures that their yacht is full of debris, junk. So then we make an appointment to go out. The 10 days, and then when from that day that we meet on site, Mrs. Dean explains to the property owner that we have this violation, you have the right to appeal, it says in your letter. And we can stop the clock today because now we're having a meeting regarding this issue.
So when one of our minimum housing inspectors goes out to a property, do they advise the property owner right then and there that they're in violation of X, Y, and Z?
We review the violation letter with them, and then we try to work with the property owner because we don't know what's going on in their world as far as how come your yacht has been like this, and probably negotiate that I can get this cleaned up in 2 weeks, or can you give me another week and I'll take care of this. Mm-hmm. So we try to work with the people. It's only the extreme cases that get forwarded to municipal court. So we have great success doing it that way with the olive branch.
So I'll be the first to admit that yourself and all of the members of your department and the minimum housing department, I think you do a very good job.
Thank you.
And I do spend a fair amount of time in putting in complaints that I receive from my constituents with minimum housing violations. So my concerns are not resting with your department that exists today. Your department today will deal from compassion sometimes, deal from reasonableness, give people 2 weeks as opposed to what this says, 10 days. But we all know that's not always the situation in government. And in 5 years from now or 10 years from now, you may not be sitting there. Your staff may not be sitting there, we may not be sitting here, and things change. What I'm suggesting is that this 10 days, and unless you have an objection to why that shouldn't be extended, I would think that it would make sense to amend that 10 days to perhaps 20 days, because the notice is from this point, and they have 10 days to appeal. What's your thoughts on that?
Right. My thoughts
are, I'm open for the discussion on this.
Sure. My thoughts are, this is directly in property maintenance. It's outlined on how to send violation letters out, how to service the violation letters. We have three options. And it's very specific in that law, because the building code is a law, part of 23-27.3. So it's already law. We follow the law, but we also have compassion for the property owners, because again, when we walk and ring that doorbell, we don't know if her husband just lost his job or Who knows? So we got to tread lightly today.
Sure. Okay. So this is already codified in law?
Yes. Okay. I mean, it's been working. You know, property maintenance was approved by the state of Rhode Island in 2010, and it's been this way since.
Okay. Fair enough. Line 13. Appeal shall be forwarded immediately to the director and the building official. Who is the director?
Chairman, before we go any further, just wanted you to know you have 3 minutes remaining on your time.
Sorry?
You have 3 minutes remaining on your time.
I still don't understand.
You have 3 minutes remaining on your time.
Okay. Thank you. Who is the director?
So some time ago, we used to have a director of minimum housing. That's no longer, the building official has assumed that responsibility. So he is the director of property maintenance. He is the director of the building department. He is the head of zoning for the city.
So would it make sense to amend that line where it says immediately to the director, which we don't know who it is, to say immediately to the director and or the building official? Because this says to the director and the building official. So that constitutes two people, one of which we don't know who it is.
At some point in the future, we may change, and Al might not be here, and we may have a director of property maintenance. So we may want to leave it at both. But it would go to the same person right now. I can't speak for, you know, a year, 2 years, 5 years from now.
So if someone doesn't make that appeal to the director and the building official, does that constitute a violation of this ordinance?
So the solicitor just said and or would work.
Okay. And or, thank you.
That's under section 6-153, line 13?
Correct.
Okay.
Immediately to the director and insert the word or the building official. I think that clears it up. It says an appeal fee in accordance with chapter 18. Who determines the fee? And what is the fee?
I would imagine it's set by ordinance, and it's in chapter 18 of the Code of Ordinances. I can look it up and let you know what it is. I just have to find chapter 13. Again, that was in the, we're not changing that, so.
And while you're looking that up, Chief, my last question is, on line 37, the board shall consist of 5 members appointed by the mayor. This is a follow-up to Councilman Gebhardt. By the mayor, subject to approval of the city council. It used to be the housing board of review shall consist of 5 members and approval of the city council.
What line are you reading from, Councilman?
I'm sorry, that is on line 37. It is section 6-156. Appointments of members. This will take out the approval of the city council and allow, it says, upon combining the housing board of review and the building code of board of review, the mayor shall have discretion to determine whose membership shall be terminated and whose membership shall continue in order to retain the membership of 5. Why is the approval of the city council removed from that?
So that first sentence, counselor, stays in place. It's now going to just be the board because it's not 2 boards anymore. So the board shall, in the future, if you adopt this, it will consist of 5 members subject to the approval of the city council. I think that other sentence is just during the interim period where the 2 boards are being combined and some people are no longer going to, there'll be too many people.
I understand that, but my concern is right now on the Building Code Board of Appeals, there are 5 people on that board that have been approved by the city council.
Correct.
If this were to pass in its current form, the mayor solely on the mayor would have the authority to completely change the makeup of the board without approval of the city council. So meaning that there's 5 members currently serving on the Building Code Board of Appeals. Somebody's going to get the boot because we're blending in minimum housing. I want to know why is the approval of the council removed from that exercise?
So my understanding is there are currently five members on each of those two boards.
Correct.
All 10 members have been approved by the city council. In this interim period, all the mayor is doing is deciding which of those 10 members that the city council has previously approved are going to remain on the sole board of five.
But there is a difference. It's two separate boards. The council approved membership of two separate boards for various reasons for those approvals, whether it be qualifications or whether it be service, experience, etc. What's happening now is the makeup of one of those boards is going to be changed at the sole discretion of the mayor without approval of the city council. And I think that is a major change in how these board appointments are being made.
Jim, so you have about one
my
minute.
Question is, do you have an objection to keeping the approval of the city council on those changes?
Yes.
Why?
Because the way it's written is the way it should be written.
It's the what, mayor, please?
It's the mayor's discretion as to who sits on the boards. They've all been duly appointed by the city council, and the mayor makes the decision on who retains that position.
But it's not at the mayor's discretion now for either board.
No, it's, all the members
the mayor can
that
make
are
the
on
recommendation to the council, but the council has the right to approve or not approve. Now that's being completely changed. And the mayor solely at his discretion can completely reassign the members of the Board of Appeals / minimum housing.
Correct.
And I think that's wrong. So is it appropriate at this time to make a recommendation for an amendment, or do we do it when it comes to the floor?
Happy to work with you in the coming moments to refine something, but if the committee would like to send the matter to the floor, we can certainly discuss an amendment language for to hone in your intent offline.
Could you say that again, please?
If the committee would like to send this matter to the floor, we okay. can work on an amendment language okay. In the time.
Okay.
I believe we have to send it to the floor already because we have identified the one additional word that needs to be added, as the chairman discussed earlier. So do we have a motion to send this to the floor without recommendation? Councilman Ricks.
Public.
Thank you. Is there any particular reason for eliminating the minority representation on the board? Minority party representation, that is.
So this ordinance, this change, the ordinance doesn't speak to any representation. So all the members that are appointed right now to both boards have been appointed duly and appointed by the city council or confirmed by the city council?
Specifically, this is under Section is 6-156 membership.
Correct. These are the existing members that when we combine the board, the mayor will have the authority to determine which members of each of those boards combined will serve. When a new member is appointed, it will come before the city council. And that'll follow the normal process. Since all these members have already been approved by the city council.
I understand what you're saying. I do share Councilman Lattice's concerns. But for a segue here, I am intentionally changing the topic. What I'm specifically referring to is that on line 38, where the blue text begins, immediately before the blue text in the red line, there is a short sentence that is struck out. The sentence reads, "One member shall be of the minority party," period. So I imagine that the logic behind this is similar to the logic when it came to the zoning board. I believe that my position on this would be the same as it is as to the zoning board for the very same reasons. But I'd be interested in hearing if the peculiarities of this particular board. For example, the membership requirements of the professional nature that they are for 3 out of the 5 members. I don't know if any of the logic as to removing the process and minority party participation from this board, if the justification is the same as to what was requested by the administration as to the removal of those provisions as to the zoning board as of a few years ago, or if there's something particular about this particular board when it comes to removing the one member position of the minority party that would go through that whole process.
Honestly, I'm not sure what you're, I didn't understand what you were talking about, but I believe right now all members of all boards and commissions are minority members because the mayor doesn't have a party. He's independent.
Okay. Well, if they're all of the minority party, then I don't see any reason why that line shouldn't stay.
Well, we don't know what the party affiliations of all the members are. What happens if some of the members are not affiliated with, I mean, they're all minority parties. So, I mean, according right now, and I believe it's according to the charter, I think we're going off topic from the ordinance.
Yeah, well. Councilman Ricks, bear in mind, we have before us another item about minority representation across all city boards and commissions that we already voted a resolution on, which will be, if it's passed tonight, will go to the public on. So that would address this because we would be establishing via ordinance the standards, the minority representation across all city boards and commissions.
Okay. I'll save the discussion for that.
Any other questions from members of the full council? Anyone from the public wish to speak or comment on this item? Any questions or comments from members of the public? Seeing none, do we have a recommendation to send this to the floor without recommendation for purposes of amendment?
So moved.
Moved by Councilman Ricks. Do I have a second? Second by Councilman Gebhardt. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
4-0. Motion goes to the floor without recommendation. There is no further business for this committee. We stand adjourned at 6:14.
Next up is the Intergovernmental Committee.